Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Jay Hugh, CEO of Hughes Funding. Today's episode is near and dear to my heart because it deals with a topic that, quite frankly, I don't have a whole lot of experience in dealing with. So as a business owner, we have to understand that we too have brands. We have to understand that our brands can influence the success of our businesses. We also have to understand that even in today's market, where everything happens online and in social media, people still buy from people. So if you're just starting a business, the easiest way to get clientele is to be personable, even on social. People buy from people. And today's guest is an international brand strategy consultant. She's a speaker. She's an author. She has a great book out right now that I literally cannot put down, but I'll let her do the introductions. Today we have Kubi Springer. Kubi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me all the way from London.
I know that's right. And I know a lot of people thinking what I just thought is it right?
It's not today.
Okay. So Kubi, before we dive too deep, I have a question for you, and that question is very simple. It is, in your opinion, what is your best kept secret when it comes down to building wealth?
Oh, my best kept secret when it comes down to building wealth is the S word. Save, strategize, and recognize that tomorrow, whilst not promised, will come. And a lot of people treat money as a tool for today and are not thinking about legacy building when it comes to financial management. They're thinking about maybe their children, but they're not thinking about their children's children. And if you're thinking about your children's children, then you behave very differently when it comes to money.
I feel like a lot of people just had a moment of silence.
I'm sure they did. Like, I'm done with this podcast. I'm going to go back to bed.
I honestly think there's going to be some people that be like, forget the rest of the episode. That part right there, she just read me.
Right,
because
right.
Too many of us don't look at building wealth that way. We do three, four, five generations from now.
Absolutely. Like I look at what is my, I have one child. I have an 8-year-old daughter. And I look at what is my daughter's daughter's daughter going to be able to stand upon. That's real wealth. Wealth is not, I made a couple of million in this lifetime. No, wealth is I made some billions that I could pass down for them to build upon. What are your children's children going to stand upon based on what you're doing today?
I know that's right. I know that is right. Look, I'm almost flabbergasted. I wasn't expecting that type of answer right now. I'll be honest. But save, strategize, recognize, that right there just spoke to my soul. So before we go too far, how did you get into branding?
Okay, well, I've been in the game now for 24 years. So I started in 1996. This is before Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Google, the whole lot. I started at a time when branding wasn't even a buzzword. And so when I was doing my undergrad, I had an internship at MTV Europe. And I loved all things music, like a lot of people when you're young. And I just wanted to understand how the business of music worked. I wanted to understand, you know, what happens behind the camera. Who are the real puppeteers in this game called entertainment? And so I did my internship at MTV Europe, and that was dope. I did it for 2 years. And then when I graduated, I was expecting them to give me a job. And they were like, yeah, we'll give you a job, but we're only going to pay you £10,000. And that's the equivalent to about 12,000 US. And I was like, what? Like,
that's a year?
A year. That was my response, child. I was like, no, I don't. So someone said to me, they said, well, if you are going to be in this industry, you're going to have to start from the bottom. And my thing is, I don't mind starting from the bottom as long as I'm working for the best. So then I found myself in New York City. And I was working for Blue Flame, which back then, for listeners who are not grown, that was Puffy's marketing agency back in the early noughties. Like Puffy, Sean Diddy Combs, like whatever name you might know him by. And so
I think he was puffy
at that time, for sure. And I worked underneath him. This is a time when he was just getting ready to launch Sean John Clothing line on Fifth Avenue. So it was a real historic moment. And there I was. A lot of your listeners might not be able to detect from my accent, but I'm a black chick. So there I was, a kind of black girl from Southeast London, working underneath Puff. And all of us were really young. You know, Puff was only a few years older than me. So we were all still in our 20s. We were all grinding through naivety, hunger, and desire. And I learned firsthand the power of branding working underneath Puffy. And I'm just going to pause and just say, no, I didn't get the boy no cheesecake. Just for anybody that has a question in their mind.
Knew the cheesecake question was going to come.
I knew it was going to come, right? This is ATL I'm talking to. I knew it was coming. It was coming, for sure. But Puffy, his work ethic, his attitude to brand building. I mean, we have seen where that's got him. And I got experience of that firsthand as a youngster.
But is he that serious about the cheesecake, though?
That's all TV, baby. That's right. Just straight up and down, scripted. Like, come on now. Ain't nobody getting no cheesecake. Well,
I've never been around Puffy. So I'm just curious, like, is he really that, like, is he really that serious guy that we see on TV?
You know what? I tell you what I love about him, what I learned from him was the importance of the balance between grind hard, but also enjoy the journey. So he works crazy hours. Anybody who's ever worked for him will tell you that you could easily get burnout because his work ethic is phenomenal. I mean, there are very few people who I've worked with who have that level of work ethic, but he's also unapologetic. So my book title, I Am My Brand, Build Your Brand Without Apology, you know, I learned the foundations of that from Puff because he was unapologetic. I mean, he was an African-American man having a store on Fifth Avenue next to Tiffany's doing, you know, the Black Panther pose on Times Square at a time when nobody was daring to do that. This was like 2001, right? Mm-hmm. So I learned that from him. Long story short, I worked for Puff for about 3.5 years before I met Justin Timberlake in LA. Justin at the time was just coming off that NSYNC kind of pop journey that he'd been on, had released Justified, was about to do the Justified tour, and he wanted the cool factor. And he was doing the tour in the UK and they were looking for somebody to be part of his European team to build his brand in Europe. And of course, I was this young British girl in America, and they were like, look, you do it. And I was like, say what? And they were like, you do it. And so my lesson from that is opportunities are everywhere, every day. The question is, are you prepared to say yes? I'm going to say that again for the listeners. Opportunities are everywhere, every day. But are you prepared to say yes? And most of us allow fear to block us. But, you know, I believe feel the fear and do it anyway. So I grabbed that contract with two hands. It took me back to the UK. And I basically worked with Justin and the Sony BMG team to launch Justin in Europe. And that then just spiraled. Off the back of that, I did Mariah Carey. I did Eminem's 8 Mile. I worked with Nike when Nike were doing Night Midnight Madness. I did the launch of the Sex and the City in the UK and Europe. And for the first 10 years of my career, it was very celebrity heavy. Towards the end of that 10-year, I did the deal between Beyonce and L'Oreal, the Because You're Worth It deal. I am responsible for B blowing her weave in the wind and claiming it's real. That's me. So that was kind of dope. And then I got to about 29. And if I'm honest, I felt like I'd worked with every celebrity that I wanted to. I'd worked with big brands and I felt empty. And in the UK, a little bit like America, you know, whenever a black person does a little bit well, they're an enigma. Right. And here I was under 30. I was a female. I was black and I had a resume that was dope. And so I found myself being, you know, kind of, I called it pulled out to the walls. Right. So it was like, oh, we need a black person at a speaking engagement. Let's call Kobe Springer. And so I'd get rolled out and I caught the bug for it. And I kind of thought, you know what? I want to get paid to do this and do it for real. And I want to go all around the world doing it. So by the time I turned 30, I had a map in my bedroom. At the time, I had a two-bedroom apartment in London, single life, no husband, no child. And I put a map out of all the places around the world that I wanted to talk and teach the power of branding. Because the truth of the matter is, whether I'm working with Puff or Justin, or whether I'm working with Beyonce, or whether I'm working with Nike or L'Oreal, the formula of brand building is the same. The only difference between working with them and working with you might be the number of zeros at the end of the budget that I get to play with. But the formula is the same. And most people are not taught the formula of brand building. They're not taught the science of personal branding. So I've now spent the last 10 years, I'm now in my 40s, I've spent the last 10 years, literally, I've spoken on every continent in the country. So I have taught in Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, Ghana, Nigeria, Jamaica, Barbados, Brazil, Chile, Germany, London, Paris, New York, Washington, LA. Like, I've literally just been touring the world, teaching people how to build their brands. And because I like coins, I still work with big brands. So my last client was Aston Martin. The client before that was Rolls Royce. You know, I've got Facebook as a client right now. So I still work with big brands, but my passion and my heart space is to teach the average everyday person how to step into their spotlight without apology, learn the science, and make that coin, period.
Now I'm speechless. And I got a whole bunch of questions, but I guess the biggest question that I will probably lose a lot of listeners if I don't ask, how do you top working with Beyonce?
Oh man. You know, so my truth is this. I'm much more turned on by the impact than I am by the celebrity name. Because there's a lot of people who are celebrities who are a-holes, if I'm honest. Bee's not one of them. She's super cool. She is what you see on the tin. But I'm not, you know, I'm not struck by celebrities. I've been working with celebrities since I was 18, right? So that's not what gets me. What gets me is impact and excellence. And so, yeah, Bee was amazing. But, you know, yeah, you keep it moving. Like, you just keep leveling up.
I know that's right. Now, because this is a podcast, it's just audio. I know you guys cannot actually see the video, but as she was listing all of those places she spoke to, like, keep in mind, she didn't just like go off the top of the head. I could see her on video, like looking over to her map that she has up of all these places that she went to. That goes to the point, to the old saying, what gets written down gets done. She wrote it down. She got it done. So now, with that being said, make sure you get out pen and pad because we're about to get into it. What does it take to build a brand? What does it take to get sales? What does it take to make money doing what you love? It all boils down to building your own personal brand. So before we get into the formula of it, Kubi, mm-hmm. I got some questions that were kind of spewing around from the book. First and foremost, why is branding so important from a personal standpoint?
I mean, you touched on it in your intro. People buy people, right? People do not buy products or services. People buy people. I often say if you are in a job interview, your resume has already been sifted through maybe hundreds or thousands of people. So when you're in that chair, they already know you have the capabilities and the skills. That's not what they're interviewing you for. They're interviewing you to work out whether or not they want to work with you. Do they want to see you're behind every single day working on a project together? Because people buy people. And the minute you get that, you recognize that you're not selling capabilities. You're not selling skills. What you're selling is your true, authentic self. So people often ask me, they're like, Kubi, you're kind of gully. Are you this gully no matter where you go? And I'm like, yeah, whether or not I am speaking to, you know, one of the princes in Saudi Arabia, or whether or not I'm in New York talking to a 16-year-old that's trying to work it out, or whether or not I'm dealing with Meghan Markle in the UK. What you're buying is my knowledge and skills, but you're also buying my approach. And my approach is what's connected to my authentic self. So I'll back up a little bit. One of the things that was a real aha moment for me was when I realized that being black and female was my superpower. So oftentimes we get taught that we need to assimilate, that we need to put on the suit and behave as if we're something different than who we are. We have a corporate voice that in the UK would go like this, darling, and absolutely. But actually, when you realize that your true authentic self, the reason that I grew up in the hood and I got out the hood and I managed to navigate, the fact that I saw hustling as a day-to-day, all of these jigsaw puzzles is what makes my approach to brand strategy different to the kid that went to Oxford or Cambridge. It is the authentic me that you're buying, not just the skills. And most people haven't worked out that their superpower is exactly who they are.
A lot of people just heard you say that and said, but Kobe, I'm not selling products under my personal name. I'm selling it under my business name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why do I have to build a personal brand when I'm trying to run a business and build a business?
Okay. So the reason being is because, so as I mentioned, I've been in the game for 24 years. Your products and your services are going to change. Why? Because consumer needs change. Because market trends change. If we think right now, we're in a global crisis, we've got COVID-19, we've got quarantine. This in and of itself is changing the market, right? It is creating an environment where micro businesses and small businesses, as an example, can do global business because of technology. You and I 10 years ago couldn't do this because technology didn't allow it. So the markets are changing, which means your product and your services should, will, and must change. So what is the consistent thing? You.
Exactly.
Right? You're the consistent thing in all this. So if you're the consistent thing, then you're the brand. You are the legacy that needs to be built upon. So let's move this to someone like Disney. Okay? You look at Disney. Disney is products driven. Whether it's the theme park or the movies or the toys, it's product driven. But yet Disney is built off of the ethos of Walt Disney. 1925 is when Walt Disney started Disney, and he started it with an ethos. We're still buying the brand today because of the man. If he didn't understand that, he may not have called it personal branding back then, but he understood the formula. The formula is built off of the authentic truth of the founder. Let's take it to another brand, Apple. Apple is a product. But Apple recognized that Steve Jobs was so instrumental that when they fired him, they had to bring him back. In fact, we can see that Apple shares are going down because they didn't package the Steve Jobs way correctly, which is why now they're getting their butt kicked in the marketplace. Great brands are built off of the founder's ethos. And the quicker you understand that as a principle, the more you say, okay, how do I take my mission, my vision, my values, my brand archetype, and bottle that in a way that it attracts the right staff who understand it, and the legacy can be birthed off of it, because products and services will change.
Okay. So now you keep saying the word formula as it relates to branding. Now, when you say formula, are you talking about the create, package, grow, sustain, or is it something else? I just want to make sure I'm on the right track with what I'm learning.
Yeah, I hear you. So the formula starts with this principle, which is, what is personal branding? People think that personal branding is promotions. Many of us have been told, you know, perfect your 60-second elevator pitch, right? Learn how to write blogs on LinkedIn. Know how to promote yourself. Know how to walk into a room and network by promoting you. That's what we're taught. It's the biggest bag of bullcrap anyone could ever teach you. How many times in your entire career have you gone anywhere and done a 60-second elevator pitch, child?
Maybe once.
Once in your whole career.
Yeah.
Right? The reason why we don't go around going, hey, my name is Kobe Springer, is because the formula of branding is that branding is an emotional connection with your desired audience. Branding is an emotional connection with your desired audience. So here's two parts to the formula. Part number one is, how are you emotively connecting? My job as a marketeer, the reason why I get paid the money I get paid, is because my singular focus is to get you as a customer to stop thinking and to start feeling something about this brand. If you think you're in your headspace, you're going to do price comparisons, you're going to do, you know, all of these product comparisons. I don't want you thinking, I want you feeling. It's the reason why as a woman, I walk into a shop, I've already got 20 pairs of shoes, but I walk out with another pair of shoes. Why? Because I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh my God, I was feeling something about the brand. So the first part of the formula is, how do I get them to feel, not think? And getting people to feel something is about understanding human behavior. Getting them to feel something is about tapping into the heart space of human beings. That's part A. Part B is, who do I want to feel what? So branding is an emotional connection with your desired audience. Not everybody. Not everybody's meant to feel you. Not everybody's meant to get you. But there's a particular niche that you're meant to operate in. What's that niche? Who's that audience? Where's your tribe? And so most times, people don't get those two components, or they get one or the other. So they might be like, I've got a niche, but it's like, okay, well, what do you want your niche to feel? So you can't see me, you can only hear me, but you already feel something about me. You feel it, right? You might feel, damn, this girl's motivational. Or you might feel, wow, she's like powerful, impactful. There will be a feeling that you have. That feeling, when mastered, is designed. It's not an accident. It's not an accident that my brand colors are red and black. And at the same time, I want you to feel impactful and powerful. It's not an accident that you go on my Instagram and every other post, I'm teaching you something because I want you to feel like I've empowered you to learn something, to level up. These are not accidents. These are designs when you understand the formula. Now, because most people don't understand the formula, they're just out here trying a thing. Let me try this. But they haven't worked out. What do I want you to feel? Not what do I want you to think? I don't want you to think I'm a good marketeer, because then you might think about how much I'm going to charge you. I want you to feel I need this chick on my team. Then you won't question the price.
So is it the same thing for a person who... Okay, let's take an industry that's like just overpopulated. Is it the same thing for someone who's listening right now and they just want to create t-shirts? Yeah. Custom t-shirts.
Yeah, and the reason why is because let's take Schoolboy, right? They're a fashion brand out of New York. They started off with t-shirts. They wanted you to feel hip hop culture. They wanted you to feel like you were a part of a movement that sometimes feels like it's lost, right? Any of us that are old school, we know the true hip hop. Sometimes we're like, where has the truth died and gone, right? They wanted you to feel something. So because they wanted you to feel something, they ended up building a whole empire beyond t-shirts, because people are not buying t-shirts. Why am I gonna pay $99 for a t-shirt? I can buy t-shirts from Primark, friend, but I'm not buying a t-shirt. I'm buying how you're making me feel when I put on that t-shirt. And the way this particular brand wants you to feel as if you're part of that old school hip hop culture, that old school community, that old school tribe, that, you know, Nas tribe, that KRS-One tribe, that Biggie tribe, right? Now you're going to pay $99 to feel like you did when you were 19 or 17 listening to Biggie. If I know that's right. T-shirts, you're not going to pay that.
I know that's right. I remember that era.
Right.
And that Nas Jay-Z beef.
Come on now.
One of the best. KRS-One, LL Cool J.
Come on. Don't get no better. Don't get no better. Right. Now, if you've got the disposable, and here's the tribe bit. If you've got the disposable income where $99 for a t-shirt is not going to burn your pocket, you're always going to buy that t-shirt. This is why the two work together. So for this particular brand, their tribe are people who were middle class, right? They weren't in the mix of the era. They wanted to be part of the era, but they weren't in it. Those of us who were in it, we ain't paying $99 for nothing that looks like a t-shirt. But because they were on the outskirts and they want to be in it, they will pay $99 to feel like they're part of something that they were never really part of. See the success?
So it's all about knowing who and what you want, who you want to feel what.
Correct.
Did I say that right? Who you want to feel what. Okay.
Correct. this is regardless of industries. You could be in the construction industry, the law, you could be in technology, you could be in entertainment. It's not about industries. Branding works, period. We know this because we see it from Fortune 500 companies. But branding is an emotional connection with your desired audience.
Okay. So now people are listening and they're like, okay, I can get with this chick. Now what do I do? So in my notes, I've got create, package, grow, sustain. So how do we create that feeling?
Great. So there's loads of different ways to be able to create it. There were different tools that we marketeers use to be able to create that. One of the very first things is to be very clear that your brand starts with your why, but it doesn't end with your why, because branding is a commercial driver. So it starts with your why are you doing this? But it can't end with your why, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm clear on my why, but they're broke. That's because their brand has started and stopped with the why. Like, it can't do that. Branding's a commercial driver, right? But it has to start with the why. It has to start with being clear on the psychology of colors. Every color is creating a movement in our brain. You know, there's a reason why Coca-Cola's red. There's a reason why in 1982, when Coca-Cola changed the shape of their bottle and changed the Pantone of the red, their global sales plummeted, because colors has a psychology to it. So it starts with all of these components of understanding, how do I tap into the psychology of the consumer? How do I tap into their heart space? That's how you create that emotional connection. I'll give you a simple one. There's a thing called a brand archetype. Every great brand falls under one of the 12 brand archetypes. Oprah Winfrey is what we call the caregiver brand archetype. Now, again, here's the science. Oprah's brand archetype is the caregiver. It's the very reason why on her TV shows, she used to give away cars. Remember, she used to go, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car, right? You remember
that?
Famous slogan, right? That wasn't a mistake. Every great brand has been built off this science. Her brand archetype, her brand personality is the caregiver. Now we need to see that come alive. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car, right? At no point does she go, I'm a caregiver. No, that's not how this thing works. It's like tiny little pieces of the jigsaw that come together that make people feel, man, I kind of like Oprah. She cares about me. There's a science behind that. Make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Brand archetypes. So yeah. For everybody listening, we need to start studying and figure out what brand archetype our businesses are. So the next one is package. So you've got your brand archetype. Now, how do we package it?
Okay. So now you package based on the needs, not the wants, the needs of your tribe. And I don't call them a customer. And the reason why I don't call them a customer and I call them a tribe is because I want you to see them like they're your brethren. We say they're brethren in the UK. You know what that means? Like your friend.
Brethren, friend. Yeah, I got you.
Right, exactly. So we want you to see your customer like a friend. Now, why do I say that? Because how do you treat your friends? You listen to your friends. You know your friend. You know what's going on with your friend. You know what your friend likes. You know what chicken your friend likes. You know what Waffle House they want to go to. Like, you know everything about your friend. Same principle with branding. The best marketeers do more listening than they do promoting. I'm going to say that again. The best marketeers do more listening than they do promoting. So if you was to look at my IG, for example, I'm always asking questions. So guys, for example, when I wrote the book, I went on IG Live for 6 months and just asked questions. So tell me, what's happening with your brand? What challenges are you having? How's it working for you? Why is that not working? Which way should it work? Like, why would I do that? Because I wanted to listen. I wanted to listen to what the challenges were, and then I knew what to write in the book. I'm packaging the book based on your needs, not your wants. Oftentimes, people spend so much time promoting that they don't even know what their tribe needs. They don't even know what their customers need. So let's take right now. Everybody right now is working out, you know, how do I pivot? You know, we're in quarantine. You know, Trump's doing what Trump does. We're in the middle of an election. How do I pivot? How do I make money in this time?
Everybody's asking that question.
Everybody's asking that question. This is how you make money. Shut up and listen. Listen to what people are telling you they need, and then match your brand to the need. So I'll give you a classic example. February, early this year, there was one particular day where all my corporate clients emailed, and I swear it was like a Rocky Horror show. Every email that came in was canceled, postponed. Like, we were just getting contracts just paused on one day. So I turned to my team and I was like, all right, we can do one of two things. We can panic because, you know, we just lost 70K in one day, or we can listen. And we were like, let's just spend a week just listening to the groanings that's going on social media. Just listen to what people are complaining about. What are companies saying? What are staff saying? And we were like, okay, so we need to launch an online academy. And so we launched an online brand academy. We went back to our corporate clients and we said, we can keep your staff feeling motivated whilst they're still at home because they're not used to working from home. Every single corporate client that we lost through a corporate account, we gained back through an academy account, just because we listened. And we pivoted based on need, not wants. But what most people do is they get that same email and then they complain, oh, I can't believe that Facebook just dropped me. Oh, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Like, Charles, shut up and listen so that you can work out what they need so you can pivot to the need. Make sense?
Perfect sense. So create package, figure out your brand archetype, listen to the needs instead of the wants. Correct. Now, once we have that, how do we grow?
Okay. So there's four pillars, right? So do you want to read out the third pillar for your audience?
Say it again.
The third pillar that you've got written down.
I've got create, package, grow.
Whoa. That word is so important. Oftentimes people think, well, they build a business, it might be doing okay, they're good. Or they built a business, COVID happens, they feel like they're not good, and then they stop. Stopping is never the option. Growth is the option. I'm gonna say it again. Stopping is never the option, because remember, we're doing this for generational wealth. So why are you stopping? Stopping is not the option. Like, our babies need us to keep going, but they don't need us to keep going. They need us to keep growing. You got to grow in every season. So you got to work out, if my brand is no longer working, what needs to change? What do I need to learn, read, study? Who do I need to talk to, connect with? You need to keep growing. And most people are not growing. So I'll give you a practical example. I've got a client. They've been really good in the retail space. They've been killing the game in the retail space. Now COVID happens. Nobody's going into shops because everybody's quarantined. They had stopped growing. I've been telling them for a good year, digitalize your business, learn about the digital landscape. But because they were so safe in that place, dominating market share, they weren't growing. Now they find themselves in a position where they're trying to play catch up. Let's bring this to a regular person. There's a lady I know, she's 45 years old. She's at senior level in HR. She's killing the game in kind of, you know, corporate UK. COVID happens, she's up for redundancy. I've been saying to her for years, grow your personal brand. No, she don't want to grow her personal brand because her paycheck's nice. Now what you got to do? You're going to stop, or now you're going to grow? Like, every single season, we need to work out, what don't I know? Keep asking yourself that question, like, what don't I know? No matter how good it may be, no matter how bad it may be, what don't I know? And then go and find the answers. Because if you're on a journey to continually grow your personal brand, you will be never left broke. Why? Because you're the cleverest person in the room. Smart people get paid coins.
I don't know if y'all heard that, but she definitely said smart people get paid coins. So if I were you, I know me personally, create, package, grow, I'm definitely going to be working within this next year and beyond to continue to grow, just because smart people make coins.
They do. Like, let's look at another thing, right? We know that technology allows us to connect internationally, but how many people who are listening have said, actually, let me look at new markets outside of America to do business? That's growth.
You know what? I got you on this podcast, and I didn't think of that one.
Right? So you've got an international woman on a podcast. So now we've got ATL in London talking. Some coins needs to get made. Like, this is transatlantic business to be done. But people are not growing. They're not growing past what they know. And why? Because they're scared. And that's okay. It's okay to be scared, but you know, you could be scared and broke, or you can be scared and do it anyway and make some coins. Choose.
And truth of the matter is, courage is what is built when you do something, even when you're afraid.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So I want to make sure I let you go on time. So now let's go to point number four, which was sustain. So now we've created our brand archetype, and we've created what we want to package. We've done the packaging. We focused on growing. How do we sustain it?
Okay. So the way that you sustain it is through relationships. Relationships are everything. The people that you ignore on the way up are going to be the ones who might be in positions that can open doors for you tomorrow. So if you're in a high position and you've got juniors coming underneath you, don't treat them bad, because those juniors one day are going to be executives. If you're a junior on the way up and you're meeting people who are at the same level as you, don't ignore them. Stay connected, because they might be in a job tomorrow where they can say, hey, friend, I know something that you can do. If people understood the power of relationships, they would take them more seriously. Every single gig I have ever had has never been advertised. Justin Timberlake did not advertise for someone to build his brand in Europe. That came through a relationship. Mariah Carey did not advertise for somebody to launch her in Europe. That came through a relationship. The Beyonce gig came through, like, everything has come through relationships. So we have to make sure we're watering these relationships, because that's how we sustain our personal brands. People buy people. Which means your relationships you've already bought into you will be your biggest advocacies. Now, someone might be listening and think, damn, I done burn a whole lot of bridges. What do I do now? It's never too late. It's never too late. Humble yourself. Go back to that bridge that you burned. I've had to do this. When I was younger, I was more fiery than I am now. I've had to go back to people and say, you know what? I was a bit of a prick when I was in my 20s. Like, I handled that situation incorrectly. I'd like to restart over. It's so important to nurture those relationships, to have a customer relationship management system where you're keeping note of people's birthdays, wedding anniversaries, touching base with them. Here's a practical tool I give people right now. Write down a list of people that you would love to connect with. Like, I mean, a dream list, like, just dream big. The chances are you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows that person. That idea of 6 degrees of separation is so real. We know this as human beings, right? But it doesn't change in building your personal brand. So write this target list down and then start working through people, you know, maybe on your LinkedIn, maybe on your Instagram, maybe in your personal phone list, who might be in the industry. And start with this thing. Number one, contact them and say, I'd love to connect with you because I think I might be able to help you. The principle of givers gain. Always get on the phone or the email saying, I want to give first. And you might not have anything to give to them, but you just want to find out where they're at. What are they doing? What's happening in their world? And then when you've got them on the phone or in that meeting, ask them this question. Who do you know that I need to know? I'm going to say it again. Who do you know that I need to know? So you've had a great lunch, a great coffee, a great Zoom meeting, and you're chatting back and forth and you're learning about them and they're learning about you. Always end the conversation with, who do you know that I need to know? And trust, they're gonna go, oh, you know what? Man, you need to know so-and-so. Ah, you need to know so. Like, people will naturally just go, you need to know so-and-so. And you say, well, do you mind just doing an email introduction? It's all about relationships. That's how we sustain.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when LinkedIn first came about. The only way you could connect with someone that you didn't know was to get an introduction from someone that you were already friends with.
Right, right. And that principle, any private members club where real wealth is happening, that principle still connects. Because the reality is that at that level, people know if you said, yeah, my boy's good, it means he's good. So it's all about relationships, particularly now during this time. And there might be a listener, and I really want to hone this in. There might be a listener that might be thinking, but I don't know anybody. Like, I don't have those sorts of contacts. Like, people who are in my sphere of influence, like, I'm the biggest person in my sphere of influence. Then what you need to do is you need to get out of your circle. Like, literally and figuratively. So one of the ways that I got out of my circle when I was first trying to escape the rut of the hood was that I would literally just go to hotels where wealthy people were. And if all I could afford for the whole day was one cappuccino, I would sit there for the whole day and sip on that one cappuccino. And as people came in and I saw people on their own, I would nod, I would smile. And then day after day, they would see me coming back. And eventually someone would say, hey, what do you do? A conversation starts, a relationship starts.
You literally just sat at the hotel and sipped on one cappuccino all day.
All day. Because back in the day, I didn't have coins. You know, you go to the Four Seasons, those cappuccinos are like $20, right? They ain't cheap. So when you ain't got money, you're like, I'm going to sip on the one.
That's going to last all day.
All day, right? And here's another one for you. I remember my husband at the time, we were young. Our daughter wasn't born. And we were trying to work out, how do we level up? And he said to me, QB, I wanna be at the private members clubs. And in the UK, the private members clubs that are the real deal, you know, they're like £12,000 for you to be able to enter the private members club. And we didn't have that kind of money. He sold his car and he walked for 6 months saving money so that he could get in to the private members club. You now fast forward 15 years, my ex-husband works with people doing deals all day long around private jets. That would never have happened if he hadn't sold his car, made that sacrifice to walk, to save the money, to be in the room where money takes place. So if you haven't got the sphere of influence right now, what are you gonna do to get through the door?
You gotta make the sacrifice.
Gotta make the sacrifice.
You gotta make, and you know what? That's as good of a place as any to conclude this episode, because you've dropped a bunch of gems. I mean, my notebook looks like this. Right? So with that, Kubi, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. As far as everyone listening, just remember this. People buy from people. Before you get to the level where you can hire a marketing team, a sales team, you are the brand. Work on your personal brand. And with that, always remember, good, better, best. Don't let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Peace.